still got that CD by church y'all sung Sunday night.
Y'all come up here and sing that again, Emma and Memphis.
Diana, I wouldn't know who she was. She was coming up. Better leave the pulpit mic on.
Warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, laughter in summer, and the changing of leaves. Food on my table, a good place to sleep. Clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed.
A father and mother who nurtured and raised, brother and sister, memories made. Our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray. Stripes that can heal, the blood that can save. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have given some, but some gave it all so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good. So
amen. Bless you, Brother Jeff. Amen. Yeah. Right. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Brother Caleb. Amen. Appreciate it. Yep. Amen. Amen. All right, appreciate these testimonies. Yeah, sure it is. Amen. Bless him, Lord.
Thankful for the testimonies and the spirit that's in them. If it wasn't no spirit in it, it wouldn't be worth nothing.
That's right.
It's been 2,000 years ago. God sent his son to die for those that would believe. He died for sin and rose from the dead. He came to this earth, suffered and died. On a cross was crucified. Oh, what love he gave all he had for a pearl of great price. Oh, glory to God, I'm on my way, going to a better place. We'll walk and talk with saints of old. Oh, won't it be sweet? We'll stand with Peter, James, and John, saying the victory is won when he purchased that day at Calvary the pearl of great price.
Amen.
John saw the heavens open up, a man with his vesture dipped in blood. That was Jesus standing there who gave all he had. The Father will say, go get your bride. She's made herself ready, all robed in white. The church is the pearl and Jesus God's son who paid the great price. Oh, glory to God, I'm on my way, going to a better place. We'll walk and talk with saints of old. Oh, won't it be sweet? We'll stand with Peter, James, and John, saying the victory is won when he purchased that day at Calvary the pearl of great price.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, thank you, Brother Eddie. All right, anybody else need to do anything tonight? Yeah. Somebody else tonight. All right, got a missionary letter from Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else tonight? Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Oh, can't get that in there sometime. All right. Anybody else tonight? We're just having church and trying to mind the Lord midweek service. Amen. Amen.
I'm just thankful tonight. Y'all pray for my mother. She's in the ground for her home. We have two neighbors, the lady's wife, and her sister died with COVID. But, you know, my hands are not been strong. She's ready to go. Her daughter went to the window of the window and talked to her, sung to her.
Amen. Lily's your sister's daughter, right?
Oh, that's my aunt.
Your aunt's daughter, okay. All right. Do remember these things in prayer. Appreciate these good testimonies. There been some good come out of the bad, but there's also been a lot of bad come out of the bad. And this has really set churches back, not just our church, but all churches. It has set them back. And I was counting the other day during this last 40 days, I could count up 25 people that is easily out of our church in the last 35 days. Of course, some of them passed away. Others are the family members that hadn't got back yet. And some other people that hadn't been able to come. So it's hurt the churches. It's hurt financially. Now, we've been blessed. Our peoples give good during it all. We're not hurting. The Lord's blessed us. We don't owe anything. And we're thankful to God for that. But we've not got like we would get if we had been meeting and this had never happened. But the Lord has took care of our needs. And then it's hurt people spiritually. A lot of people, not everybody prayed and read their Bible during all of that. And some people was already on the edge before that hit. So now they're way over the edge. And there may be some people that won't get back. We hope not, but there may be some people that the devil will cause them to fall out by the way, because they wasn't really in there all the way anyway. And that's why it's important to stay in church. That's why I've preached for years. Go to church 3 times a week. Why? Well, if you just go 1 time a week and you get down and out and the devil gets you to miss one service, you're out for the whole week. But if you got 3 times, he's got to get you 3 times before you're out. I know we got a lot of elderly people that's got health issues and afraid to get out. I understand that. But it's been a little disappointing that we probably have more young people that's not coming back than we do elderly people. Now, you won't go to any safer place than right here. I don't know, but if you can go to Walmart or you can go to the grocery store or you can go somewhere else, you can come to church. There is no safer place than right here. We get extensive cleaning every week, Lysol everything, bleach everything. We're taking all the precautions. We just put a system in the air conditioning unit that helps control the viruses and bacteria at a pretty good little cost. And so we're doing everything we know to do to keep people safe. Our people's been good. Brother Aaron, he was sick last week, and he didn't come to church during that time because he said, Brother Rick, I want to make sure I was all right before I come back. Brother Brian Crow, down where he works, there's been some people test positive with COVID-19, and he called me today and said, Brother Rick, I had to get tested, so I want to wait and make sure I'm okay before I come back. So that's what we want to do. We don't want people to come to church sick. We don't want people to come to church if they think they might have something. But if you're well, you need to come to church. And we're staying apart and still doing all that. And so I want to encourage you to go to the house of God. It's important to go to God's house. Like he said, no matter, you may listen to every service live streaming, but you can't get what you get here. You just can't do it. And so that's why the Lord said we need to get together and meet together. So pray for all the churches. It's everybody. It's every pastor I've talked to has the same sentiments of what I just told you. They're all experiencing the same thing. Yes, Brother Marty. Amen. Miss Elaine McGuire fell and broke her hip. And so remember her. She's going to be going to NHC for rehabilitation or therapy. So she'll be there for a while. So we sure hated to hear that. But remember her in prayer. Brother Eddie's wife, Dottie's still in the hospital. About 2 months or more for her in the hospital. And it's been hard on Brother Eddie. Now his daughter's in there too. His daughter's in the same hospital, Melina. So remember them in prayer. Diane's mother's doing better, and she's out in a regular room now. And so we hope she'll be home in her own room when the time comes. All right, anybody else tonight? Yes. Okay. Amen. Okay. Amen. All right. This is a missionary letter from Ronnie Ladero. We hadn't had one for him in about a year and a half. Matter of fact, we cut their support in half because we wouldn't hear from them. But we got a letter from him the other day and said, Dear supporting friends, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high. I want to apologize for the late report of mine. Truly, the devil is doing his best to discourage us in ministry. I personally admit that last November, our church encountered lots of trials. One of our pastors and his wife quit in the ministry. The wife committed adultery, and both of them live separately. They have 3 children, and they have a good ministry. It really affected the ministry. Then a month after that, a young man in our church committed suicide when his girlfriend left him. There are things that we cannot control. Only God knows what the reasons and the purpose and plans are. Now, by the grace of God, the church in that town is recovering. The new pastor and his family are dedicated in doing the Lord's work. There are new family converts, baptisms, and 5 young people surrendered their lives in serving the Lord. They stayed in the church and volunteered themselves to help in the ministry. In this COVID-19 pandemic, we are all shocked that almost everything needs to stop in the terms of business, sports, work, and even church services as well. But the Lord is good for making a way that online preaching of God's Word has become available. Every Christian home has become a house of prayer. We have family devotion every morning and evening with memory verse. We really enjoy our quality time together as a family. Let us continue to glorify and praise His name in the midst of this pandemic, and always trust Him in everything and anything, because He is in control. Our church was able to give some relief, goods, groceries, and meat products to our members and attendees because our people are in need. Also, we gave snacks to our policemen who serve our town in safety. One expecting lady came to our house early in the morning asking for help to go to the hospital because she needed to deliver her baby. Transportation available because of the quarantine, so I immediately took her to the hospital. Praise God, she made it, and the baby is in good health. Here in our area, they consider the religious group, pastors, as one of the frontliners in helping people. It is a privilege, but also a high risk in getting the infection, but still a joy to be a blessing in our small way. About our family, our youngest was diagnosed to have Down syndrome. She is almost 18 months old, but still looks like she's 9 months. The doctor says she needs therapy for her to walk and soon speech therapy. Please pray for her situation. There are lots of laboratory tests needed also. Our heart's desire for her is to have the privilege to serve the Lord with us. Lastly, please pray that we continue to support our church planting ministry, pastors, and the Christian school that God gave us. Our financial support last month has really been affected because of the virus. It is because of our partnership with others that we can do things. Thank you for your love, prayer, and support. We really appreciate it. Truly, our investment in the Lord's work really matters. Our ministry is also your ministry, and we are praying for you, and may our Lord bless you, Brother Ronnie. So, it's good to hear from him. And churches in the Philippines, just like churches in the States, they all have problems. And they still have the devils at work over there, just like he is here. And so it's just part of ministry. As Brother Sheets used to say, that's just church. That's the way it is. All right, let's go to John 19 tonight. We'll get a little word in. We might go a few minutes longer tonight. And John chapter 19, we're going through the Gospel of John, and we're nearing down to the John, the last two chapters of John, and then we're probably going to go into Revelations on Wednesday night. Everybody's always interested in that, especially at a time like we're living in right now. So in John 19, we'll begin in verse 38 and read through to verse 10 in the next chapter. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own house. Father, we thank you for the good testimonies. Thank you for the good spiritual singing. And thank you for the ones that have come out tonight, those listening, by the way, Lord, of the means of internet, social media. And Lord, we ask now tonight that, Lord, you might speak to our heart out of these passages tonight that we've read. And just help us to be apt to teach tonight. Forgive us of our sins and failures. Help all those that are sick tonight that they might get soon well. And we ask the Lord to save the lost. And Lord, encourage your people and get your church ready, Lord, for your coming. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we're leaving now the 6 hours that Jesus was on the cross. And he's coming down now from the cross and headed for the entombment. And on the resurrection and the days that are going to follow. And I'm glad that the story didn't end in John 19 and 30, where the Bible said, Jesus said, "It is finished." I'm glad the story didn't end there. It's a never-ending story. And he rose 3 days after he was in the grave, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But in verse 38 that we read, the Bible said that Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave them leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now, at a time when we've seen a lot of good people, I'm thinking about five right now, good upstanding citizens in the community or good members in the church that have passed away, and because of COVID-19 and because of the rules down at the funeral home and out at the cemetery and different places, we've seen some awful good people that didn't get to have what we would call a proper burial, or what we would call at least a traditional funeral. But this might help us tonight concerning that when we stop and think about Jesus. And he's the most upstanding, greatest person that ever lived on planet Earth, and he didn't have a big funeral. And I've kind of become fond of these graveside services, especially if it's a beautiful day. I think they're nice. I think they accomplish everything that's accomplished everywhere else. And for most people, they don't have the money for a big funeral, and it helps out in that way. So I don't have any problem with it at all. But we think about some of the great people in the Bible and the funeral they had. I preached a message a few years ago on the funeral of Moses. And Moses was a great person in the Old Testament, a great patriarch. No greater there hardly in the Old Testament than Moses that led the people of Israel out. But yet when Moses died, the only one that was there was God. God buried him. God preached his funeral. There was no flowers. There was no list of accomplishments, but he had them. It would have filled up a whole obituary page in anybody's newspaper. But not one word is said. God takes him out and buries him in a place that only God knows. And that's the end of it. Not only him, but I'm thinking about John the Baptist. The Bible said of John the Baptist, of those born of women, there never was anybody greater. That's what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Now, I might say that about Mark, but it's one thing if Jesus says it. When he says it, you know you can take it to the bank. And he said, of those born of women, there's never been a greater than John the Baptist. Well, John didn't have much of a funeral. Only his disciples were there. And again, no accolades, no flowers, no accomplishments listed, nothing. He's just buried, and that's it. We think about some others there, on down through there. There's several in the Bible that is like that. No sermon, no visitation, no flowers, none of these things. I think about Billy Mitchell. I went to Billy Mitchell's funeral. Brother Mitchell preached, Lord only knows how many places that man preached, how many revivals that man preached, and was on the radio station for years and years. And I went to his funeral thinking I wouldn't get a seat. And there was about 35 people there at that funeral, and just a couple of preachers that I knew, and was pallbearers, and his obituary, I still got it in my Bible at home. His obituary said nothing about him preaching or holding revivals or anything like that. Just told his family where he preached and where he died. And at first when I read that, it kind of bothered me. And then I thought, wait a minute, that's just like Brother Mitchell. He was humble. He wouldn't ever say nothing about himself. Only thing he was concerned about was not what men thought he did, but what Jesus thought he did. And that's really all that counts anyway. And so we come to hear in Jesus, he doesn't have a funeral really. Something to think about. So used to every year, you've heard me preach it, I'd sit down, write out all my funeral arrangements and look over my pallbearers and take one or two out that I'd got mad at that year and put somebody else in their place. Change some of the songs I wanted to sing because I heard a better song. And then when all this hit, I thought, well, wad that up and throw it in a garbage can, because you don't know what you'll get when you die. You might just get a graveside service and nobody even be there. But really, it don't really matter, does it? It's not really for the deceased, it's for the family. That's why we do funerals, it's for the family. The one that's gone on, he don't know about nothing, no flowers or hear what's being read and all that stuff, and we just try to comfort those that are left behind. So after all this pandemic stuff and all, I got a little bit different view on looking at some of that. But I really do after I studied this, because I see these great men of God never even had a funeral. But the Lord knows what they've done. The Lord knows where they're at, and I'm sure they'll get their acclimates somewhere where it really counts. And so Jesus has died upon the cross, and two men come to get him down from the cross, a secret disciple and a teacher of the Jews. Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple. Somebody asked me one time, said, can you be a Christian and not tell nobody? I said, well, there's one in the Bible, I guess. And Joseph Arimathea, he finally did. I guess we could say he come out of the closet here. He come out and he said, I'm a follower of Jesus. And he went and begged the body of Jesus. Now, if the disciples had went to beg the body of Jesus, they'd never let him have it, because they'd been afraid of what they might do. It never let them have it. So the Lord's got it all worked out. Really, the Lord is all, his Father, Jesus' Father, has already made his funeral arrangements. Everything's already worked out. And he done knows who the pallbearers are going to be. It's not going to be six men, it's going to be two. And did you know that after Jesus died on the cross, nobody ever touched his body that wasn't a believer? No unbelievers ever touched his body after he died upon the cross. Now, years ago, I was riding in a hearse going to a funeral somewhere, and we were talking, me and the undertaker was talking, and we got talking about the Amish, Mennonites, folks like that, and I was asking him what they did. He said, well, when somebody dies, he said, usually they'll call us and we go pick up the body at their house, but they won't let us pack it out. So they have to pack it out, put it in the hearse, and then we take it and embalm it, and they pack it in. We embalm it. They pack it back, take it back to their house, but nobody ever touches that body other than the embalmers except the family. Well, I don't know if that's why they did that. It's because of maybe something in this scripture. I don't know. But I do know nobody touched the body of Jesus but believers. Now, the other one is Nicodemus, and we think about him because he came to see Jesus one night, Nick at night. He came to see Jesus, and I'm sure that he never forgot that conversation that him and Jesus had. Here's the last words that he heard Jesus say. He said, Jesus said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And here's some of the last words he heard him say. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he heard Jesus say, as Moses was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Somewhere out there on that hill that day was Nicodemus. And when he saw Jesus being lifted up on that cross and dropped in the hole with a thud, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit, who brings all things to our remembrance, whatsoever he saith unto you, he brought to his remembrance the words of Jesus. And he thought about Moses' serpent being lifted up. And he thought about Christ being lifted up. And after a while, I believe it all came together. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Nicodemus got saved. It don't say that he did. But I think his actions, at least to me, prove that he was a believer. Made a great step when he went. And him being who he was and what he was, it was a great thing for him to go and ask for the body of Jesus, as well as Joseph of Arimathea. These men were upstanding men, so to speak, around the area there. And if it hadn't been them, they probably would have never got the body of Jesus. So the Lord worked it all out. Now, the Bible said in verse 39, And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys and 100-pound weight. Now these spices would be enwrapped within the wrappings, and it was the way they done it back then. And it's probably a very, very expensive collection of spices, and more than likely a lot of them was from Nicodemus's own personal collection of things. Now Nicodemus, he had not showed the Lord. He hadn't give the Lord his best while the Lord was living. But he done the best he could after he died. He went and brought the very best spices and linen and everything that he had. And so he did what he could. Now, you know this, that they knew they were crucifying these people. They knew that. And everybody got a grave. Look, even if you was a criminal, the Jewish law. Look over in Deuteronomy 21, and the Bible said there, Deuteronomy 21:21, and all the men of his city, well, let's back up a little bit, and they shall say unto the elder of his city, this is our son, a stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, like those thieves had, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, like they did, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land may not defile, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So, under Jewish law, everybody got buried. At least they should, according to their law. John 19:40, then took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Verse 41, Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre wherein was never a man laid. Okay, so there's a garden there. A garden there. So, we call the cemetery Memorial Gardens. There's a garden there. And a lot of cemeteries have different names with gardens stuck on them. Why a garden? Well, a garden's where you plant stuff with hopes it's going to come up someday. So, there was a garden there. And no doubt, they had already had three places to bury these people, the two thieves and Jesus and anybody else that might have been crucified that day. They already had bought graves to bury them in. But, as I said, the Lord's Father had already made His arrangements. And the Lord never planned for His Son to be buried in a malefactor tomb. Matter of fact, the Bible says that in Isaiah 53:9, it said He made His grave with the wicked and the rich. And so He was crucified beside two thieves, but He's buried in a rich man's tomb. Now, let's think about this, talking about Jesus. He was born in a virgin womb. He would be laid in a virgin tomb where was never a man yet laid. Old Testament kings and prophets, you remember this when I say it. When you read in the Old Testament, somebody died and it said they buried them and they were gathered unto their fathers. Remember reading stuff like that? Well, in the Old Testament, most tombs were caves. That's what they were. And a lot of times, because of family ties, if somebody died, they'd throw them in the same cave, put them in the same cave, or that some of their family was already there. They wanted to be buried where their family was. So when you get ready to die, you want to be buried where your family is most of the time. A lot of times you have family cemeteries a lot of times. And you want to be buried by your wife. You want to be buried by your husband. A lot of times people that's got a lot of money, when they buy their grave plot, they'll go ahead and buy one for all their children because they want them all to be together. And so we pick up so many things out of the Word of God that we don't even realize that we picked up out of the Word of God. So we see here that this tomb belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. He could pay no greater honor to Jesus after His death than to let Jesus have His own tomb. You say, why? Because we just said that families wanted to be together. And so in essence, by Joseph of Arimathea let Jesus being buried in His own tomb, He was acknowledging He's part of my family. He's part of my family. So He could pay Him no greater respect. You ever think about this? We know the Lord owns it all. The Bible said the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Dwight Kaufman used to preach that. He'd said He gives them to me one hamburger at a time. The Bible said all the gold's His. All the silver's His. He owns it all. He owns the cattle, the hills, and the old time preachers, Mark, used to say the taters under the hills. He owns everything. But when He come down here, the Bible said He laid all that aside. I think it's 2 Corinthians 8, I believe it is, or 5 and 8, where the Bible said that for the grace of God, by the grace of God, that He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. Jesus, when everything He done down here, He borrowed it. You ever think about that? He borrowed a womb to be born in of a virgin. He's borrowed a tomb here to be buried in. He borrowed a boat to preach in. He borrowed a boy's lunch to feed 5,000 with. Everything He ever did, He borrowed it. Why? Because He wasn't going to be here. He didn't need it, Keats. We don't either, really. We don't need anything for keeps because the Bible said it's certain you brought nothing into this world. And for the most of us, it's certain we ain't going to take nothing out. Amen. Not just because we can't, but because we ain't got nothing. But the Lord, He had it all. And the Bible said we're rich through His poverty. But everything, did you ever have anybody borrow something? And they bring it back. If you're lucky enough to get it back, they brought it back broke. Yeah. You call them and say, hey, I can't get this thing working. What happened? Well, I was working fine when I had it. Everything Jesus ever borrowed, He made it better when He took it back. You say, how so? Here's a sermon for you preachers out there. Jesus borrowed everything. But everything He ever borrowed, He brought it back better. You say, how did He make Mary better? Her name's world known. Everybody knows who Mary, the mother of Jesus, is. How did He make that boat better? They caught so many fish, they had to get help because they broke the nets and had to fill other boats up. How did He make that boy's lunch better? He fed 5,000 people, had 12 baskets left over, and I'm sure gave that boy something to take home with him. Everything He ever did, He made better. You say, how did He make Joseph's tomb better? How would you like to be buried in the tomb that Jesus rose from? Not saying He was, but just how would you like to? So everything He ever borrowed, He made better. And He wants to borrow your life and my life. And if we let Him borrow it, He'll make it better. Who was the missionary we studied in Bible school? Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot had a famous saying that said, he is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to keep what he cannot give away. He's no fool, something along that line. In other words, what he's saying is, you're trying to keep your life, but you can't keep it. But if you'll give your life to Jesus, you couldn't keep your life anyway, but if you'll give it to Jesus, you'll get to keep it. Amen? And so, everything the Lord did, everything He borrowed, everything He touched, He made it better. He borrowed a cross to die on. Say, how did He make that better? Somebody got saved beside Him, and then He prayed for the whole bunch and prayed that God wouldn't lay that sin against them because they were ignorant, didn't know what they was doing. And so the Lord was buried in a borrowed tomb. Amen. I'm glad if you go over there. I've never been there. I don't think we got anybody here tonight that's been there. We got anybody here tonight that's been there? To Jerusalem, to where Jesus was buried. All right. Jack Richardson went there. And he went in and seen where it's supposed to be. Guess what he found? There wasn't nothing in it. Because he rose from the dead. Mace Jackson, I heard him say he went over there one time. And there wasn't nobody around. He actually laid down on the slab that was in there that Jesus was supposed to be laying on. And he said, somebody said, what happened? He said, something hit me at the top of my head, went all the way down to my feet and shot out my shoes. And they said, no, it didn't. He said, you wasn't there, you don't know. I'm telling you, it did. Well, I don't have to go there. I know He's not in that tomb. Amen, because He lives in our heart. And He walks and talks with us along life's narrow way. I'm glad that we can't get nobody in a car and drive them over to where our Savior is and say, look at our Savior Muhammad, or look at this person in a glass. I'm glad we can't do that. We can introduce you to Him. If you want to know Him, we can introduce you to Him tonight. And we can tell you all about Him. But we can't take you to where he's buried at, because he was only there 3 days and he rose from the dead. I wish you could still borrow your tombs. I wish you could go over here at Memorial Gardens and say, "Can I help you?" "Yes, sir, I need to get a place for me and my wife." "All right, they're $600 a piece." "Well, I only need it for a little while. I just need to rent it for a little while till Jesus comes." And I guess if they called them people in little white jackets and they started taking you away, you wouldn't get it. But in reality, we only need to borrow a tomb, a grave, because we're not going to be there very long. And it don't really matter. I like that song the Cook family used to sing, "Mama needs no marker, because Jesus knows right where she lays." You get back to some of these little old cemeteries and they're all growed up and everything. But the Lord, He knows where they are. And when He calls, if they belong to Him, like a magnet picking up nails, they'll come up to Him when He calls. If you got something in you that He's going to, when He comes, His power is going to draw on. If you got something in there to draw on, if you got a nail and a magnet, it'll draw that nail up to it. But if you got a plastic nail, it won't draw it up to it, because there ain't nothing in there that draws. But what we got in us that draws is the Holy Spirit of God. We've been saved and His Spirit lives within us. And when the Lord comes back, when the Lord comes down, that's why we're going up. Amen. All right, well, I only got to scratch the surface this night because of the testimonies, but that's okay. Testimonies are good, and we didn't even have to have a lesson tonight. We want to mind the Lord, and that is one good thing during all this. I think the Lord has cut out some things that really didn't need anyway, and the Lord's focusing on some of the most important things. Really, the only thing going on most places right now is preaching. And that's the most important thing. Because the Bible said God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But a lot of Wednesday nights, it just turned into a rock concert or a ball game or sports or something like that. Not much Bible, not much teaching, not much preaching, not much God. And I really feel like the Lord's shut us down a little bit so that we can reflect and see maybe if there's some things, hey, we don't need this no more. We need this. And one of the things that is we don't have everybody here like we always have everybody here. And so we've got people that are singing. We got people that are willing to do stuff because they know sometimes people think, well, they got 15 singers up there. They don't need me. The Lord needs everybody. The Lord needs everybody. He's got something He wants all of us to do. And so, I don't know what's going to happen. I keep thinking about the words of Bob McCurry. And Bob called me one day, and I said, "How's it going, Bob?" He said, "Well, Rick," he said, "I've been praying for a couple years God give me a better church." But he said, "I didn't know He was going to get rid of half of them to do it." But he said, "I got the best church I ever had." So really what's important is to have some people that want to worship God. Some people that want to go to church. Some people that want to meet with God. Not just go through a form that has no power in it. Amen? All right. Well, God bless you tonight. Yes,
Ricky's.